This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. As we I'm just getting up now, the information. What was that?
Sorry, I just accidentally hit my foot.
Did it hurt?
No.
Oh, you got tough feet? Hooves.
My hooves, as I call them.
It sounded painful. It's not like you whacked it hard.
No, it's fine.
Okay, why are you bleeding? Why is there a tear rolling down your cheek?
No, I don't have an ingrown toenail at the moment, so life's good.
Oh my God, that was my whole life as a teenager.
God, it's so, I got my first one last year. It's the most pain. I have a new level of sympathy for people with that. And people tread, like the way you're just so aware of your feet when you've got one, like where you're treading, where people are treading near you, any kind of.
My wife used to constantly knock my foot and it would like paralyze me. And she'd be like, and she'd feel bad, but also she'd kind of find it a little bit funny. Not just be on the ground like, please don't. Should we do Alpha Bucks for tomorrow?
Sure.
All right, your letter.
Can I just circle
back
to
that? Please.
About Julia finding it funny when you're hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but when Russell really hurts himself, my first initial thing is to laugh and then give sympathy.
Yep.
Do you do that to Julia? I don't. Is
no,
that a thing?
No,
does
but,
that show
but
you love?
Julia does that to me.
I don't know why.
When if Julia's in pain, I'm immediately like, oh my goodness. Like, and I run over and I check, make sure she's okay. And then I laugh.
My first thing is not to think. My first thing is to think he's being dramatic. So on the weekend, Russell's like, trod on the grass and then literally screams out in pain. And I just start laughing because it was just so ridiculous. Because Russell's a low-key kind of guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then he's hopping on one foot across to me. He's like, help, help, help.
Nah, that's funny, mate.
I'm crying laughing. Like, what is going on?
I swear
on?
If this story ends with him having a syringe in his foot, I'm going to feel really bad. But
well, it wasn't a syringe, but he pulls his toe up and I could see there was something that was like in his big toe.
No.
And I'm like, what is this? And it was a bee stinger.
Oh.
The bee's whole stinger had come out. And I had to actually, I'd never seen this before, pull the whole stinger out of all the places to tread in my backyard. He trod right on the bee.
Yesterday, I was opening up the back door to put some tiles in the back seat. And as I went for the door handle, there's a bee sitting on my door handle. And I'm like, you're asking for it, mate. What the hell? Because I don't know if I'm allergic or not, because my dad was. But I've never been stung.
You should really look into that.
I've never been stung. And
You've
never
been
will.
Stung by a bee?
Never.
Well, unfortunately, it's getting less and less likely to get stung by a bee.
I know, and I keep killing them. This is why I'm constantly...
Alan, no, you're not.
I spray cans of whatever into the sky. Kill them all.
So there's a guy here at work, and his dog is allergic to bees.
Yeah.
And so when they go on a walk, they have to constantly be on the lookout for bees.
Oh, that's sad.
I know. And he said that there was one time when there was a bee coming for the dog and he had to, you know, unfortunately it was the dog or the bee and he had to make that hard call. And he's telling the story. And I don't know why I thought to say this, but he looked really, like, devastated. I said, oh, that's interesting. My father-in-law's a beekeeper. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I don't have anything against bees. And then fully started backtrack. I'm like, no, I know. It's like sometimes, you know, it's the dog or the bee.
Versus me who hates them. Your letter is L for Lima tomorrow for Alpha Bucks.
Yep.
Starting with the letter. It's pretty easy tomorrow. I'm going to give this one because it's the only answer for it. And also, you know it, but I just feel like it's going to be helpful. L for Lima. Starting with L, name me a Ryan Gosling movie. Come on,
La La Land.
Thank you, La La Land.
We were
Land.
Just talking about that movie
exactly.
yesterday.
We were, and
is that
I got
why
a feeling
we're talking about it?
Promotions were listening to us, and it's the only answer there. So put that one in there, and hopefully you'll win because the rest are fairly gettable. Fairly
that's
gettable.
That's good to know.
Absolutely. Enjoy the podcast,
Alan and Carly. The podcast,
the Fame Game.
Alan, this is where you live up to your pop culture connoisseur. I guess reputation. It is slowly fading though because you haven't done well the last couple of weeks. Now today's one is a hard one, I'm not going to lie. Now I know you love a good celebrity divorce like the rest of us.
No, I don't. I don't know. Not only do I not know about it, I don't care about it.
You need to relax
it.
Into this.
Okay.
You're too tense, okay?
Right,
just relax into it, okay?
Anyone else getting creepy Carly vibes? Just me? Okay, cool.
All right,
You want to be a star kid? All right, mate, ease up.
You want to know about stars? So today I'm going to test you on your celebrity pop culture knowledge around divorce settlements, okay?
Okay, sure.
So how this is going to work is I'm going to tell you about the divorce situation.
Yep.
And you need to tell me what the payout was.
Okay.
Okay. So let's start with J-Lo and Chris Judd. So they got divorced in 2002.
Wait, Carlton player, Eagles player.
No, actually, not him.
Oh.
Then he would have done something relevant.
Excuse me. Winning a premiership 2006 with the West Coast Eagles? Come on, mate. Grow
Doesn't
up.
Matter to me.
We've got Oscar Allen in the show this week.
What's...
From the West Coast
Eagles.
What's
he done? Who was he, has he dated a celebrity?
Shelby, get that audio for me, please, and we'll play that back to him on Friday. Thank you.
But anyway, she's divorced him, 2002. Now, ironically, they met on the set of Love Don't Cost a Thing. He was in the music video. They got less than 9 months of marriage.
Oh, wow.
How much did J-Lo have to cough up for that? Was it A, $50,000, B, $2 million, or C, $14 million?
I'm going to go $2 million.
For 9 months?
Yeah.
That'd be a bargain. She paid him $14
million.
Wow. Damn.
Love does cost a thing.
How do I get J-Lo to fall in love with me? All right, let's move on to the next one.
All right, did you want an answer for that one? Or?
I've thought about it long and hard. I haven't come up with a quick one. Now, Madonna and director Guy Ritchie. Now, at the time...
Famous divorce. Yeah.
Very brutal. Now, at the time of their divorce in 2008, now he's a movie director if people don't know him.
Yeah, of course.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, obviously it's Madonna, so she's the more famous one and the more well-off one at the time. She was worth $490 million.
Wow.
So obviously she's had to pay him out because he's just kind of this little indie director.
Nope, that's not true.
how much did she have to pay him? Was it A, $10 million?
Wow.
B, $75 million?
Wow.
Or C, $5 million.
Give me the options again.
$10 million?
Yeah.
$75 million?
Yeah.
Or $5 million?
I feel like surely she should know better, like prenup and that sort of stuff. I'm going to go $10 million, but I'm not confident.
$75 million,
wow.
Which is probably why he went on to be a bit successful.
Jesus Christ.
The divorce settlement included their home in England and a pub. It was one of the largest ever divorce settlements, Madonna's rep said to Rolling Stone at the time. Now let's finish it up with this one, Alan, because you've made a mockery.
Okay. By the way, movies you can watch are Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, The Gentleman.
Never heard of it.
All Guy Ritchie films.
Okay.
Really good. The Man from U.N.C.L.E., that's not so good.
Now let's go to a very well-known divorce, Ivanka and Donald Trump.
Okay, all right, yep.
Now, famously in the First Wives Club, she had that line, "Don't get mad, get everything."
Yep, that's true.
Now, they divorced in 1992. They had quite a long marriage. 1977 to 1990, produced three kids together.
Yep, and a hell of a Pizza Hut commercial.
Did he have to pay her $60 million, $14 million, or $100 million. Now, this divorce got messy. It went back
Absolutely.
And forth.
Absolutely. And it's in the 90s. So I'm just keeping that in mind. So 60?
60, 14, or $100 million.
I'm just going to slap an E. Oh, no, 90s.
Now,
but...
I want the drone sound effect, Alan, because this is the decider.
Okay.
Talk it through.
Well, I'm just thinking because it's the 90s, $100 million, although that seems like an amount now that I'd accept, it's like the 90s. So $100 million, although a lot of money, it's like... Is it 90s? It's like, I'm going to go $60 million. I feel like that's the nice, rounded, even number. $60 million. Lock me in.
It was just a measly $14 million. Donald got those good lawyers, didn't he? And as we know, and we've since learned, Donald was broke the whole 90s.
Okay. Well, anyway. When do we start referring him as Donald, for the record? That feels
weird. What, we don't call him Don?
Donald? No. Former president.
I'm not calling him that.
Not my president.
Hopefully former. He stays that way.
All right.
Anyway.
Didn't realise how political the Fame Game was going to get today.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Hit breakfast with Alan and Carly, and we are joined by psychic Alison Maiden. Can't wait to see her in our state. Bunbury, July 19th. Busselton, July 20th. Kalgoorlie, July 24th. And then Perth, July 28th. Your chance to see her. Go to alisonmaiden.com for all your booking needs. Good morning, Alison.
Good morning, you lovely people.
How are you?
I'm great, as always. Had to be great.
Well, get ready to get rid of that good mood, because we're going to talk about Married at First Sight.
Now, Alison, you successfully predicted that Lucinda and Timothy were not going to make it. Now, at the time, that was a shocking prediction because they were very much, you know, looking like they were going to make it through. So what I thought, rather than wait to the end, we'll find out from you who's going to make it and who's not.
Oh, God.
I'm scared.
Okay.
All right.
I'm scared. Now,
Alison, you could just do a blanket. None of them are going to make it.
Eden and Jaden.
Oh.
Eden and Jaden. And you do realise I have no idea who these people are.
Alison, yeah. Me and you both.
So I'm just going to go Eden and Jaden. And I've got a very weird feeling about him, I've got to tell you.
Me too.
Me too.
He's one of those, like, people that have secrets, you know.
I agree.
No, I don't know. No, they're not going to last. I actually think he's going to move, or they'll move away, or they'll be in different states or something. It just won't happen.
Okay, interesting. Now, what about Jade and Ridge? Now, they're hitting it off.
Jade and Ridge.
Great names.
Oh, my God. He sounds like he's from a soap opera.
They really do, don't they? Ridge.
Okay. All right. Let's have a look at Jade and Ridge. Oh, he's a bit of, is he like a very sort of jokey person, always sort of,
yeah,
you know, joking around about everything? Yeah, I think that she's sort of like looking at him, she's eyeballing him, but there's not a real strong, she's going to be more into him than he into her eventually. I don't think he can take anything seriously, to be honest. And if they did stay together, it wouldn't be for long, 4 months or so.
Wow. Interesting. Now, let's go to Tori and Jack.
They're the ones
that everyone wants to know about.
Let me give you some quick backstory from what I know about these two, Alison, while you're reading the cards. Jack is the worst.
And but Tori seems to be into
and
him.
And Tori's like almost like, I don't know if it's like some kind of Stockholm syndrome. I don't know what it is, but it's gross. Yeah. Yeah. It's not good.
That's so funny. That's hilarious. Oh, my God.
She pulled out the death card.
He should marry himself. He's like Mr. Ego. All right, let's have a look here. They do connect on a weird level, these two.
Okay.
And what I am seeing, though, is quite a bit of deceit when it comes to what they're really showing the world versus what there's truly going on. I think they've made a pact for fame.
That's what people are saying.
Wow.
That's what they're saying, Alison. You've called it.
Spot on.
So they're not even in a relationship. They're just doing it for the clout.
I think they're doing it because they want longer than 5 minutes of fame. That's it.
Wow. Interesting, Alison. There you go. Now, can I put in a controversial one? So there's been a bit of a partner swap situation. So we've seen Ellie has been papped getting it on with Jonathan, who's actually partnered up currently on the show with Lauren. Will they make it outside of the experiment, Ellie and Jonathan?
I just heard a whole lot of names then. Even I can't keep up with that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's based around, you know, controversy and lust and all that sort of stuff, and it's not actually rooted in anything that's good or nice or, that's a no from me. And interestingly, when I was doing the mass interview ages ago, I said there'd be a big, you know, affair type thing that would come out. So I was right about that.
Yep.
Yeah. There you go. Oh, well, no need to watch the finale.
Yep, we've got it all sorted.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
This is doing the rounds online, and I kind of get it and like it. If you've ever organized a wedding, big birthday party, anything that requires an RSVP component to it, you know how frustrating it can get.
Yeah, and someone has been very frustrated with it, and she's taken to TikTok to basically share what she did, which I thought is kind of genius.
Yeah.
So essentially what she did was she put out a missed RSVP to people, and it basically said, "We're sorry you can't make it to our wedding. Our RSVP has passed, and unfortunately you did not respond. We would have loved to have you attend, but final numbers have now been turned in, and your presence will be missed, the bride and groom."
Yeah, now, love it.
This has divided the internet. Some people are calling it passive-aggressive and tacky.
No.
Whereas this is the thing. RSVPs are RSVPs for a reason. Like, like you said, there is, like, especially when it comes to something like a wedding that requires catering and you're paying per head, it's kind of, very entitled to not respect people's boundaries. You know, people have to have payments in by certain dates. And
yeah, and we don't know if she, because like for me, I had a few people who I know are notoriously horrible at getting back to me for my wedding. Mm. And so I just hit them up prior and just was like, hey, just like double checking, you coming or not? I need your RSVP. And they're like, oh yeah, I am. Sorry, I haven't done it. And then they, you know, they did it. She might have done the same thing. And then they still didn't put an RSVP in.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm just doing you the favor. You obviously don't want to go bad enough to put in the, you know, the confirmation.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here's the confirmation that you're definitely not going. You're welcome.
I remember like the day of my best friend's wedding, I was in the wedding party.
Julia Roberts was there.
We're all getting ready and she literally got like three different texts of people that were cancelling.
On the day.
On the day.
That sucks. And why are you messaging the bride?
I know. She was genuinely upset.
Fair.
You know, one of them had a genuine reason. Like, and it was like, okay, that is a legitimate reason that they had.
Yeah.
But the other two were like, oh, sorry. One of them said they forgot and got their dates mixed up, which I thought was interesting. And that was, you know, it obviously upset her. And I think it was something like $150 a head.
Yeah,
and
that's easily.
That's two empty seats at a table. So yeah. I was shocked by that.
Yep.
To be fair, she did have a couple hundred people at her wedding.
Yeah, but still.
But still.
Still.
Wild.
I like it. I like the tactic.
I think it's good. But can I just say?
Yep.
As someone that can be a little lax with RSVPs, but yeah. I do respect the boundaries.
No, you're the worst. Go on.
I do think there needs to be like a RSVP
Reminder.
Or you know when you tell your late friend that it actually starts half an hour before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that's maybe you need to like be like, tell them like the RSVP needs to be in this date.
I think this is a fine process. I just, everyone knows their friend that is notoriously horrible with this stuff and they're the one that you have to remind. And I've done it. I've done that reminder for you in particular, Carly. I've done it for things because I know how you are.
Yeah. What's the date of your baby's birth again? When do I need to be at the hospital?
Excuse me, what? I
keep forgetting.
You're not needed. Not needed.
I'm the godmother. Of course I'm needed.
I don't think that's a thing.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Alan, I think I got food shamed over the weekend. I'm not sure. Okay, I'll tell you the situation.
What is food shaming?
It's when, you know, Alan, we've all been there when someone's like, eating for two, are we? Or, when you order a family meal for yourself.
Wait, that's shameful?
Well, some people like to pass judgment.
I've got to leave.
Okay? But then I wonder if it's my own insecurities about it or if it's someone genuinely passing judgment. So here's what happened, right? So me and my friend, look, we're eaters, right? And we knew we were going to lunch, so we'd had a light breakfast and we're like, we are ordering up big. Like, we'd been chatting about it. We were so excited. So what we decided to do because we were so hungry was order our meal and then order a side meal as well. So then we can be like snacky girls and then we can just eat lots of situations. So we each had our meal and then we ordered a side meal each.
Or as
so
I call it, a meal.
Okay, look, there were four meals between two girls.
Or
okay,
as I
but
call
who's
it,
doing the math? Okay, girl
a meal.
Math. So anyway, but what we did was we had to order via a QR code on the table.
Yep.
Ask for a tip. Rude. I'm not. What am I tipping myself? Absolutely not.
Okay.
So I said no to that quickly. So essentially, we didn't really see anyone because we were kind of at the back of the restaurant, kind of around a bit of a corner. So they didn't really even kind of see us come in. We just kind of moseyed in, sat down, ordered on the QR code. We didn't muck around either. We knew what we were ordering. We studied the menu. We were good to go. We were starving hungry.
Love that.
So anyway, then the waitress brings over all of our food, had to make two trips.
Yep.
And then she comes over with three sets of cutlery and sits it down. And then we're like, oh, no, the third one's not needed. And she's like, oh, but there's four meals here. And I can see her like, she's genuinely confused.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, like, we don't have anyone else coming.
Oh, why wouldn't you just take the cutlery and shut up? I would have just shut up. I would have just been like, yep, cool, spares.
Thank you.
Right? Why did you do this?
Because I make situations that shouldn't be awkward interactions awkward, right?
Yeah.
So she's kind of lingering and I can see, and she's
why
just,
is she lingering?
She's genuinely confused, right? She's looking around and she's like, oh, so you don't have anyone else coming. All
why
these meals are for you.
It?
And then I was like, oh yeah, we're quite hungry. She goes, I can see that. And walks off. Now,
so
me and my friend were like sitting there.
Yep.
Actually, well, we were sitting there eating straight away as soon as she hightailed it away.
Yeah.
And we were like, through full mouths, we were having a discussion as to whether or not she genuinely didn't know, or was there a bit of, okay. All right.
I think it might have started innocently, but that comment at the end.
The end. I yeah. think it was the end. And it was the way she turned as well as she said it.
Yeah.
Like dropped a bomb and then kind of ran. But I was like, you know, I was a waitress for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I never did the food shame thing ever. In fact, I did the, oh, treating yourself, are you?
That's worse.
What do you mean?
I don't need that every time
I'm
ordering lunch.
Oh, my God, did I accidentally food shame?
Absolutely.
No.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm actually just
hungry. It's not a treat. I'm just eating like a meal.
No, I would be so impressed when people would order up big.
Oh, cool. You said that to them as well? Oh, aren't you a nice fatsy?
Isn't that lovely?
Is that for your big tum-tum?
No. Anyway, guys, just if you are a waitress, just a PSA, just don't comment on the size of the order or the person.
My thing is, like, producer Shelby asks us most mornings, what are we having for lunch?
Yeah.
Why don't you just answer everything from now on? Nah, but it does take a little bit of the, you know, shame off me when we go out for lunch. I like it. Jeez, it sends the company bankrupt. Girls gotta eat, right?
Girls gotta eat.
Taylor Swift right now. It's over now. Your breakfast with Alan and Carly.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Right now, but on 131060, we are asking for some ideas about a product we should make to tie in with Synergy for our Cheers movement, Carly.
Yeah, because the movement has spread right across the state. You guys have been amazing in cheersing us each and every morning.
You know what? I'll do it right
morning.
Now. Cheers to all the listeners.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. So we want to take it next level. So on 131060, we're asking you guys for a revolutionary product that we can put out into the marketplace.
And let's be real, it's probably going to turn into prizing or something that we give away. So it's basically you helping us out regarding that, but giving back to yourself. Let's kick it off with Debbie in Bunbury. What's your idea, Debbie?
Cheers.
Cheers, Debbie.
I reckon toilet seat warmers, you know, in wintertime when it gets so cold.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I like it a lot. And you could you cheers while using it?
No,
no,
no, no,
weird,
no,
weird,
no.
Weird,
do
weird.
We put Carly's face on it, Debbie?
Could do.
Yeah, there's an idea. Carly's face in the toilet seat warmer.
What, and put yours underneath?
Hey, no need for
well,
that, Debbie.
Well, then you flip the lid, Alan, so it can be unisex. I like it. I like it.
Okay, there's an idea. Debbie, we're definitely writing that one down. Let's go to Brooke in Busselton. Hey, Brooke.
Cheers, Alan and Carly.
Cheers. Cheers. Now, a bit of a hard act to follow with Debbie's suggestion. So hopefully you've got a good one for us, Brooke.
Yeah, so you know the sunshades that you have for your car?
Yes.
Yes, those. We have you guys on them cheersing with the Hit logo.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I like that.
And it's like free advertising for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we could be throwing shade. I like it.
We could be doing cheers on the front bar and throwing shade. Double whammy. Thank you very much, Brooke. Let's wrap it up. We've got Kylie on the line from Collie. Hello.
Hello. How are you? Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah, cheers as well. Now, what's your idea for us?
What about coasters?
Oh, that seems like a given, isn't it? That's a good idea.
That's good. Now,
simple. We're thinking too complicated with
Kylie,
these toilet seat warmers.
I don't know if you've heard, but I've been trying my hand at a little resin work.
Oh, no, not
so,
resin.
I see. It's better.
Yes, maybe I could integrate my resin work with the coasters, Alan.
Yeah,
put a little
put
bit
your
of a
signature mark on it.
Yes.
Yeah, burn.
I haven't quite mastered the mix yet with the resin.
No.
There might be a bit of trial and error there. But
I personally would rather go to a professional to do this.
No, I think Kylie should do it.
Oh, thanks, Kylie.
Cool.
I
right.
like your
I'll,
vote of
I'll
confidence.
I'll put in the order for 500 right now then, Kylie.
500?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you need a hand, let me know.
Okay,
yeah.
I think all I right, might cool. need to.
Yeah.
Alan, volunteering?
No. I'm washing my hair. No chance. No, I'm too busy. I wish I could. Sorry, but I can't. Kylie, thanks for your call. Sounds like Kylie's got some work to do. Look, we might land on that decision. We don't know. We've got a meeting today
I'm
with the big
gonna
boss.
I'm not going to probably vote for the coasters after that.
Why? Because I'm washing my hair?
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't want to do all that work.
But we do have a big decision to make of what product we're going to land on. We've also had a ton of comments coming through in the Facebook group. Spoons seems like a no-brainer. Doing one of those big novelty spoons, you know, like a teaspoon with a big thing on the end.
That you put on the wooden rack in the
kitchen.
Yeah,
I like that idea. But like I said, there's a scratch and sniff stickers got thrown out there
now,
on the Facebook group.
That's not bad, and it could be coffee-scented.
Yeah, Cheers car air fresheners. That's cool. Sleep eye mask for Cheers.
Like Breakfast at Tiffany's style.
Yeah.
I like it.
There's an idea as well that's
now,
so random.
Now, have we got a budget for this?
Oh,
it's getting expensive.
Carly, please. Please. We will find out in the meeting how we're going to sell our souls to get that budget. It should be a quick
meeting. I'm
going to
be doing a lot of resin work.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast. This is it.